Hey, no interpreter. This is great. Hey, guys. Wow, am I glad to see you. I just kept hearing when I got back and this morning, oh, there's so much fire in this house. Do you believe it? Yeah. Wow. Oh, there's new faces. Hi. Welcome to my home. Oh, my. I can't wait to get to know you. This is good. I can't even begin to tell you, oh, how much love I have for you. And how much love. We're so proud of you. Give yourselves a clap. Yeah. Hey, you guys. You're amazing. You're amazing. Now look at somebody else and tell them, you're amazing. Say the words. You're amazing. Don't be shy. No, you're amazing. You're amazing. Ah. Wow. Yay! Oh! Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I need to leave more often. Was this a great worship time? Amazing. Oh, thank you, worship people. You guys all together. You and you. Yay. I walked in this morning. I thought I was going to fall over here. How cool is that? I like that. That doesn't happen. Oh, it's amazing. Amazing. I kept hearing that from Pastor Jerseo. Amazing. Oh, the whole time we were there. Brazil sends their love to you. Yeah. Hey! If you've never been there before, you will. Because we have a home there. And it's a big home. Yeah, we really do. And we have seen the enemy try to stop that. And he's a punk. He can't. I like what you're saying. It's so true. It is true. We just have to believe the truth, honestly. It's just kind of simple. Wow, it's so good. Look, it's so good. Wow. Wow. We are an army dressed for battle. But we're a happy army! I don't want to be in an army that's not happy. I don't, really. And you are happy people. You are joyful people. I like it. Maybe turn to someone else and tell them you're a joyful person. You're a joyful person. Oh, come on. Come on now. You're a joyful person. You're a joyful person. Person of joy. Person of joy and person of freedom. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, what a different place this is. Wow. Oh, man. You know what? You know Cleveland Airport's closed. But we're here. We flew in yesterday from Brazil to Detroit, supposed to fly to Cleveland. Just as we three, Pastor Bill and myself and Troy, were going to board the plane, they said, oh, plane canceled. Oh, everything's canceled in Cleveland. So it's like, oh, wow. How do we get home? We need to be home. We need to be home. I heard it in my heart. You need to be there tomorrow. It's not just get home because you want to get home. Detroit's nice, I suppose. But it was really good.
Hey, it's in Michigan.
It's in Michigan. That's Indiana Jones back there. Hey, Indiana. You like it? Oh, yeah. So it was just really cool because they put us on the next flight out, which it made no sense to me at all. I was like, what the heck? We're supposed to leave at 10:30 because, this is what our time was, and we're going to get into Cleveland around 11:30, something like that. So they say, no, we'll send your plane out at 2. I'm thinking, I think there's more snow coming. How is that going to help us? I'm not understanding your logic here. So anyway, we were kind of asking the Lord, what do we want to do here? Because we love Detroit. We're not staying in Detroit tonight. And so in that little process, Troy had this brilliant idea of flying right into Akron, Canton, you know. Because Delta has planes that fly in, but you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to wait till your next flight. Or if you do change, then, you know, you have to pay something. Well, of course, favor of God is all over us here. And so they said, no problem. In fact, you'll be home earlier. So we flew into Canton, Akron yesterday. Woo-hoo! And our luggage, you know, that didn't quite catch the message. So that's coming in today between 2 and 8 because that's still in Cleveland. But we're not. So anyway, that's just kind of fun because that's the Lord, you know, really showing the rest of his pleasure for us and you. He's so pleased with you guys. Oh, my gosh. We kept hearing that when we were in Brazil. He's so pleased. Frontline, he just loves you. Because I know he loves me and I'm his favorite. But, you know, he told me they're my favorite too. Okay, I can do that. But he just wants you to know so many great things. You know, our worship teams, meaning all of us together, are going to go all through Brazil. He showed us that. Oh, yeah. That was prophesied 6-7 years ago. I'm not sure exactly when. Over there. Yeah. And the enemy tried to stop that. But what we're going to do is just link with Casa de Jesus, and we're just going to see things blow up. We saw a lot of blowing up while we were there. And everybody at Casa de Jesus, and if you've not been to Brazil, it's kind of maybe hard to get excited about this. Like, oh, I don't know these people. I'm going to hear some more stories. But I'm telling you, there is such a connection. The Lord has been revealing to us more and more what his heart is for connecting people together, connecting hearts together. And so when we went in to see everybody, you know, everybody's gotten bigger, older, wiser, hopefully, you know, some, and all that. And we see the changes in people's lives, and I'm sure they look at us too and say, oh, there's some changes, hopefully some of the good. And then we went into a place in the slums. It's called a favela, for those of you who haven't been with us before, called Heliopolis. And Ciudade de Deus, City of God. And there's two different works that Casa de Jesus is doing in the slums, the really poor areas. And when we were going as a family several different times, I think there were 4 different trips, and Pastor Bill and I have been there 3 times of the 4 trips because the enemy tried to stop us on one of them, but 4 different frontline trips. So we've been there 3, and everybody else, many others have been there 3 times. And so the enemy tried to come in. But the Lord, you know, how many of us know that when our battle really belongs to the Lord and the battle is the Lord's, is somehow he's weaving his goodness in all of that. And his timing is perfect. So we don't understand the full measure of why. But we have some really good ideas of what God is up to, a little bit more than before, for this big end time plan that really seriously involves Brazil with Frontline and with all the other countries that we go to as well. But Brazil is just right out there in the forefront. And the Lord's been doing works in all realms in Brazil and also here, just kind of preparing us for some things that we'll be able to carry. How many of us want to carry greater glory of God? We don't take his glory. We want to carry that glory. How many of us want to do that? Yeah, only a few? Really? Like what? The glory of God. He says you can be my little donkeys and you can carry me because I am the glory. So you can carry me. But if you see my weightiness, when you understand my weightiness and you receive my weightiness, that could smash you to the floor. It's just good. But we have to get up because we can't stay on the floor. We have to get up and we have to keep moving. So God wants us to keep moving, but he wants to prepare us to carry the great treasures of heaven, and many of them have been buried. And the Lord is saying, we're in a season where the treasures of heaven are being found, but we have to dig for them. We receive while we dig, and we receive. And so I know you had conference here. Woo! Ha! And I've heard some great things about this conference. And I'm so glad I wasn't there. Now you may think, well, that's not very nice, but no, it really is for this season, because I believe that God prophetically wanted to do something, and you guys all could, you know, hang out with in the spirit together anyway. Part of me, you know, said, oh, I want to be with everybody. And the Lord said, I know you do, but there's something here I want you to discover with the people. There's a timing. It's a perfect timing for what he's releasing right now. He's releasing bigger things for us. Not that we won't be at other conferences, we will. But for this one, he wanted to do something very special in all the hearts. All for you new folks, hello, I love you, and I'll get to know you. For the new folks here, just know that God is up to something bigger than what we can see. We're going to look at some scriptures in just a minute to hear about that and think about that. Conference was absolutely amazing, and all the preaching here was so good, and I've been getting all these reports, and I was like, wow, I'm blown away by just the love that has been released through all of you. And while you were doing this, I mean, I'm thinking about you going, oh, it's Friday night, you know, Mike is preaching, oh, yeah, God, let me be good, Saturday morning, Saturday night, oh my gosh, they're probably up in the clouds somewhere, wow, Andrew and Dan are doing games on Saturday, yes, so we're thinking about you and with you in spirit, but watching God do amazing things in Brazil. And he says, the call on this ministry is so regionally empowering here and globally empowering. And he says, you really need to be fit for battle, because there is an enemy that wants to try to derail, stop, move. And that's his job. Hello. He has to have something to do. So that's his job. And the Lord says, you know, that's not your portion. Yeah, there's going to be many things that may try to get in the way, but I'm going to give you the eyes to see, and I'm going to show you how the disciples in here were in that same process, and that's who we are. We are, we're followers of Jesus. We're disciples of Jesus Christ. And it's really up to us. Josh said something really powerful this morning among many things, but he said, a yielded heart gets it. I don't know what your exact words were, but I heard the word yield. But a heart that's totally yielded to what the Lord wants to do right now can receive and stand and not allow anything to stop. Nothing will stop you. Nothing. There will be no attack. There will be no attempt. There will be nothing that will stop you in Jesus' name. And he says, but I need you to know that you need the belief inside to carry that truth, because it is true whether we believe it, own it or not. But he says, I want you to own it, because where I'm taking you is just beyond what you'll ever know. And so this is your time, this is your season to really have that upgrade. So this has been a season of great upgrade for every person in this room. You know, those who have been connecting here. And if you're a visitor for the first time, bless you, you're included in that too. This is a season of great upgrade in the spirit. How many of us want more? More upgrade. You really do? Oh. Well, then we can expect great and mighty things. I know Pastor Bill has things to share, whatever that is. Come on, Indiana. Come on up. What did you want to say? Well, yeah. Do you love the hat? Isn't that cool?
There's a story behind this hat.
Always. Always. But unfortunately, I can't share that part. Time to come. I think my favorite part about Brazil was we separated for a couple of ministry opportunities. And I received reports from her ministry opportunity. The blind see, the deaf hear. This is the report I'm getting from her ministry opportunity. My ministry opportunity was they received the Father's love, they're crying. Isn't it interesting how God weaves the gifts together? I expect that, you know, I'll be putting my hand out, and when I find a blind person in my meeting, she just runs into them. The demonized, rolling around on a stage and having to send the pastor to quiet the demon. Yeah. Wow.
Just really quick. yeah, this guy, he carried some real heavy, ugly friends, you know. So he was on the ground, and he was just really making noise. It was annoying, because there were other people receiving all kinds of things, and these little friends weren't coming out yet. So the pastor, God love him, he was a very good guy, very spiritual man, but is letting him scream his heart out, bang his head. And I was just like, this has to stop. I said to the pastor, tell the demon to shut up. There's other people who are going, oh, and they're here to receive an impartation for healing. And so he said, okay. So he went over and he did. And it was quiet. It's authority. It was really cool. And the man did get free.
So those are the reports I get from her end of things. And then, you know, Troy and I went to a youth meeting in another church, and the Father's love was just there, and I'm singing over these people. The worship band just started up, you know, at the right time during the ministry time, and I'm singing with the worship band. I had brought my guitar. I didn't have to use it. They were, you know, really, doing well with the starting up of the worship near the end, and so they just started flowing with me, and I would sing over these people, and they were crying and receiving, and it's just so neat how God weaves everything in together. So Brazil got Father's love, deliverance, healing, salvation, just a package that he used us to minister. Troy, of course, going around doing everything for us, catching, ministering, loving on people, giving out his Father's love to people, words, prophetic pictures, and, you know, some prophetic pictures with us. It's just, I love how he just weaves it all together. And even when we separate to double the ministry that we can do on a particular evening, how God just breaks out in both places. He's not limited, is he? And then we heard things about him breaking out here. People getting transformed and some tears and some, you know, shedding some stuff and allowing God to come in. I love how we can be in three or four different places as, you know, God works through frontline and amazing things are happening. You know, he deserves all the glory, all the credit for that. None of us think that we're really much without him. And so we need him so desperately. We depend on him to break these things out, because we can't make it happen in people's lives. We can't make them open up. I can't sing the words that come unless he provides them. The river flowing inside of me. The river flowing inside of her for how he uses her. How he uses you. You know, it says that there is this river, this ongoing river inside of us, and it's flowing out. When the woman at the well was, you know, discussing with Jesus about living water, I noticed it wasn't just the living water that he was talking about in the spirit as, you know, well, here's a drink of living water for you, and of course you'll be saved and you'll really understand some things. But he said it comes from your innermost being and it just keeps on flowing. Once it starts, it can keep on flowing. How many know that in many places this morning, people are meeting and they're stopping the river from flowing? And you say, well, the front line, man, they, you know, they're kind of crazy and people come up and they dance. They're, you know, what is this joy stuff? You know, it's just a little too, come on, it's got to be fake, got to be fake. Well, the river's flowing. How many have had more joy in the past 6 months than you've had in your entire life? Come on. Be honest before God. Give him credit. All right. It's the innermost being that is getting energized inside of you by Holy Spirit. I tell people it's not so much what I say to someone or how I minister to someone. It's whether that river gets started and whether Holy Spirit gets a hold of their heart. And they may not even remember one thing I say. It doesn't matter. If I can just get that river started in each person, just go to Brazil and get that river started. Just sing over them or, You know, give a hug in Jesus' name of Father's love to someone. That innermost river starts up and he takes it from there, doesn't he? Because we're not in Brazil right now. We're praying, we're trusting that that river is still flowing through Holy Spirit, that we, you know, we're used to touch, you know, have the finger of God touch them, and it's still going this morning. It's not like we left and it quit, or that we have to be there. No, we just get the opportunity, the joy of partnering with the Holy Spirit to just get a few more rivers started inside of people, letting them take off the blocks, the dams that hold people back from receiving all that Holy Spirit has. And some of you, while we were gone, we didn't have to be here because the dam was opened. The dam was opened and the river is flowing greater and with more volume than ever inside of you. That's why she's jumping around with such joy, because we received the reports in Brazil that that was happening. Isn't it wonderful that your pastors can be gone and more happens? That should be encouraging to all of us. We can be somewhere in the world and Holy Spirit just takes over and lets the damn doors open. Did I say that right? That didn't work? Okay. And then the river just flows. Maybe I better stop using that word. I don't know.
Mark's writing that down. Mark's
writing. You got that? Yeah. Write it in your Bible. But, you know, the energizing of Holy Spirit in two different nations. Come on, you got to love that. You have to love that. Embrace that. And don't let the river go down to a trickle. You know, don't, for heaven's sakes, don't let it dry up. But don't even let it go down to a trickle. You know, that's the enemy. He comes after us and tries to get the huge Amazon kind of river inside of us down to a trickle. Don't let him do that. Amen?
Amen.
How can you stop it? You stay open to the Holy Spirit. You don't increase your striving. Right? You don't increase your striving. You increase your openness. Most Christians that we meet around the world, they're trying to strive their way to being alive. And the message we bring to people is, we tried that. We did. We tried that. Maybe she didn't, but I did. I tried that. And I tried to strive myself to being alive in Jesus, and it didn't work. Performance doesn't make it, but receiving does. You can be still and receive from him so much living water. I'm done in a minute. Yeah. We would make a little bit of a wager. Well, not so much a wager. A little bit of who would get back last from the ministry times. We won! We won! Troy and I won! Of course, we went out to a restaurant at about 1 o'clock. The pastors would take us out about 1 o'clock, and I'm not sure you did that, did you?
No.
Well, we can show you the way.
I'll learn. I love him. And Indiana, sometimes we think, oh man, open the blind eyes, Lord. Oh, Father's love. It's not like that at all. It was amazing. Because there's a Father's love in everything that we do. Everything. And so there were many healings and things that took place as he was singing and preaching over people as well. We'll hear more about those, and you'll hear the results. But before the children are released, I want to say two things about Heliopolis, because I don't know who's teaching today, but some of you were probably there. Heliopolis is now called the community. So people go out and they serve in the community because they thought the name favela was really negative because, you know, that has a negative connotation in Brazil of, oh, these are the drug addicts and the, I can't, the kids are here. You know, all the negative stuff that goes on, in the world. These are the ones that, you know, are always the troublemakers and they don't love Jesus and da 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 da. And so this was in Brazil kind of a negative thing. Like if you heard the word favela, it's like, oh! So they call these places communities. So now people go to the community. So we've been changed. But when we went to Heliopolis, when we saw Washington, for those of you who were with us years ago, this little boy who is now either 13 or 14, he tells people different things. So he's really a cool kid, but he partners with Pastor Jerseo as much as he can. And he was just a little fry when we were there, and he had has a brother, Kaiki. So Washington and Kaiki are brothers that have now grown up, and Kaiki's older, and Washington's 13 or 14. But when he saw us on the street corner, he ran up and, oh, you know, embraced us. And it's been 5 years since he saw us. And he, you know, he says, oh, you haven't changed a bit. I said, I love this kid. Wow. But, you know, love is blind. And so there's this real strong pull because of all the love that he experienced and all the changing he experienced when we were there. We only got to see him that time before Troy came. And then on Friday, this is what I want you guys to hear. We went to a couple of bars. Love hanging out in bars. And the owner of the bar, his name is Carlos, and he's the drug lord for the whole area for both of the slums, favela community, and other areas. And he's very, very well known. He has 35 children. You think you have it tough. So, 30. But 35 children, and it's not a good thing in that the children are good, but you know, there's just all kinds of people who have helped birth the children. And he has 20 grandchildren. And for some reason, he doesn't dismiss us. He loves us. Like, he says, where have you been? Because we wanted to see him. We called ahead. Where have you been? 5 years. I haven't seen you. I've emailed you. And I said, hey, if you emailed me, it either didn't get to me or you didn't email me, okay? Because I would respond to you, where have you been? What have you been doing? And we started to remind him of various things that were said by the both of us. Pastor Bill and I both ministered quite a bit to him. Huh? Yeah. I know I'm going to finish this story and end the children because I want the people to hear this. And he sat there and we were putting him into remembrance, if you will, of all these words that were spoken over him, and I won't go into what they were. It's like, rah, 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 rah. And Pastor Bill said, when are you going to exchange your little kingdom for the kingdom? When are you going to do that? And I was prophesying over him all these great words about who he really is, invited him to come to Africa and India with us someday. And he's just looking at me, he says, because he's involved. He used to be the voodoo high priest in the region. And that kind of shut down. So we went into spiritism. And it shut down because we prayed. And God did some mighty things that we can talk about later. But it shut down. It used to be behind his house, this big place that he would hang out in. So now he went into another realm because he didn't get saved yet. He hasn't gotten saved. But he looked at us and he watched the children from Heliopolis from 5 years ago, and we'd been there again 3-4 years before that, and he watched them come in. There were a few of them. Ingridji, and Jago, and Pedro, if you remember, those of you who have been there. And Washington came back. And even his son, Zay. We've only were there a couple of times this whole trip because God took us in other directions. And the two times that we were there, Zay walked by in completely different areas of the city, and he walked right up. He had no idea, and God brought him, and that's the son of the drug lord that we got really close to, that we wrapped with and got really close to. Zay. Zay is Carlos's son. And so he walked up. So there's this thing going on. Okay, now get this. These little children come up, and Viviani and Bianca. Bianca wasn't there that day, but she came on Sunday. And Viviani's sister, and Gabriel, I think his name is, Gabriel. Anyway, these guys were there, and we were taking pictures, and we had to get to the airport because we had to leave Friday. And all of a sudden, It was like, and there's this huge storm, and it's on the TV and the bars. These are outdoor bars that, you know, it's Brazil. So this big area outside. And it's instant flood. It's like, my gosh, we're going to stay there for days. But that's what happens when these flood waters come. And so Pastor Joseo said, it's right before the kids came. I so wanted to see these kids before we got on the plane because of all the other things we had done. And so it's like, Lord, I'll leave. I'll be obedient. I'll get in the car and go to the airport. But doggone it. Oh. And so as soon as this flood came, the kids came in. And so we had this fellowship time, and Carlos was watching all of this, and we've exchanged emails again. And we knew that it wasn't just, oh, you know, you got to see the drug lord, ha, ha, ha. But he was receiving from us. And as I was talking to him, he took a bottle like this. And I don't want to do this because I have water in it. But he had it in his hands like this. And he virtually destroyed it. Like, and it was all of the stuff that he's carrying, this rage and anger and everything venting right into the bottle. And just sitting there talking about Jesus and challenging him. And he's the kind of guy, believe me, he doesn't want you around. He doesn't like you. He'll just dismiss you one way or the other. He will not sit there. And he used to sit and listen to us for hours. And so I saw this, and I saw these little children growing up, seeing, you know, being bigger. They were bigger. And I thought to myself, there's something really powerful about love. And the Lord brought the children specifically to this place, held off the rainfall till that time so they could be there so we wouldn't leave, honestly. And for him to witness the love of what had happened even 5 years ago, and for him to hear it, because he's, his life is very, very important, not just because God loves him. That's important enough to do all of that. But for the masses, God wants to use him. He's going to save him. He's going to be like a Paul, and he's going to travel with us, and he is going to be a powerhouse for the gospel of the kingdom around the world. He really is. And I know it. I've seen him saved in the spirit. And so I saw that, and that was right as we were ready to leave, and I thought, you know, Lord, we are just your little kids. And all you're saying to us is, you need to learn to love. And I'm going to help you in that process. And that's the greatest power. It's like, oh, she talks about love. Yes, because it's the truth. Period. And if you take that to the Lord even tonight, if those of you who are teaching, so you won't hear all this, if you take that to the Lord, Lord, I need to learn to love the way you love, we will be changed forever. More and more and more. So, children, goodbye. And teachers and helpers, I want to share a few things about something very familiar to some of you that I think God gave me some insight I want to challenge you with before we close today. See, look at all these great people going. It's like they needed to hear that about Carlos. Okay, guys, if you would, I have no idea what time it is, and I'm going to actually be very concise and semi-short. I really believe it. So get out, if you're writing, taking notes. If you're not, that's sad, but get out your pen and take notes. This is really good, if you would. So turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Mark. I like that name. Mark, how are you? It's good to see you. It's really Mark. You have such a good call in your life. Mark chapter 6. And I'm going to jump around. Verse 7. We're going to start there, but I need you to track with me and, you know, really hear what God's wanting to release this morning. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And also, put your fingers in, or finger, whatever, in Matthew 14. All right? Because we're going to do some jumping here. And I think God wants to show us something new today. How many of us are very familiar with the 5,000 people being fed through the loaves and the fishes? It's like, you've heard that before. Okay. How many of you know about John the Baptist being beheaded? Okay. That's good. And if you haven't, you will. How many of you have heard about Jesus walking on the water and Peter walking with him? Okay. How many of you know that Jesus sent his disciples out? Okay, the 12 sent out. I'm going to start in verse 7 in Mark, and I am going to jump, and I need you to jump with me. How many are willing to jump? Okay. All right. If you look at verse 7 in Mark chapter 6, Jesus says, or we are reported that he summoned the 12 and he began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over unclean spirits. Okay? We know that. We know that he sent out the 12 and he sent out the 70 and he keeps sending people. He says, I'm going to send you out, which means as you pray and worship here, then wherever you go is out. So that's what out means. I'm going to send you out. So he sent them out and in pairs and he gave them authority over the unclean spirits. This is really good. Skip down with me. Now write the verses down because it's going to apply to your own life. How many are willing to do that this morning? Write the verses down. Or put them in your iPod or something like that. Okay, skip down to verse 13. And they were casting out many demons and they were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. All right, I love this passage. It's really good. It's like, oh, wow, Lord, that's us. Yeah. Casting out demons, anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. How many of us have ever cast a demon out? A few. It's like, wow, not that. And God is saying he wants us to learn his ways. He wants us to understand what that looks like. Because our way and our thoughts of what to do, how to do that, and how it's supposed to be, okay, are probably very different from the Lord's. Hi, sweetie. What you got for me? Wow, thank you so much. I love you. Thank you so much. They're very different. How many of us know that our impression of casting demons out can be very different than what the Lord says? You know that? If we don't have the kingdom impression, we can miss some very, very, very important tools of the Lord. We can say, we're an army dressed for battle. Weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. The pulling down of strongholds and everything else that we sang. And the Lord, you know, is so honored by that. And he loves our hearts and we're screaming, yelling, dancing, going, yeah. And then he says, so do you know what that means? Do you understand what that looks like? Are you aware of how I look at that and how I know you will receive? My way towards you of receiving is what I'm saying, is what I want you to know about, is what I want you to be able to own for yourself. In other words, I have a kingdom way that's going to be different than what you think. So that you don't get stuck in a formula. Thanks, love. You don't get stuck in a formula, but you're going to understand. And you're going to so desire not only to do that, but receive that kind of ministry. Because you're going to say, God, I have stopped. Or I don't understand. I've either stopped giving or receiving. I've either stopped giving out or receiving when the Lord says, this is what I've given you to do. And he says, if you don't understand how, or you get stuck in a trap watching Pastor Mary Pat and this is what she's done and I watch that. It's like, oh yeah, it works. Okay. And you learn from that and that's great. You should. That's why you're here. One of the reasons. But at the same time, the Lord says, I'm going to take you into a place where there are going to be new sounds and new ways of doing things. In other words, wherever you go, whoever you are with, what I have equipped you to do is going to be exactly what I say needs to happen right now. And he's going to train us up more and more and more to be able to do those things. Does that make sense? Okay. Just to me. So if it doesn't to you, flag me down. Say, huh? Let me know. And I can try to back it up a little bit. So all of a sudden, we're in Mark chapter 6. And now we just go, yeah, cast out demons, anointing many sick people. All of a sudden now, we see this little paragraph here about John the Baptist. It's like, what the heck? Why is that in there? John the Baptist, he's been put in prison. Now we know who he is. I mean, he's this great dude that is a forerunner, preparing the hearts of people so that they can receive the Messiah who's coming on the scene, and we know that. And he eats bugs, and he lives out in the middle of the desert. We know Mike explained that to those at conference, you know, about him being kind of weird, and he was. But it was a good weird. It was a weird that God understood. And it was a good kind of weird that was considered radical by the Lord, and that's really good. So God likes that. He likes God kind of radical, God kind of weird, and anything that matches up with God kind of things, I'm all about. So John the Baptist was like that. But he was in prison. Because he had a mouth on him, because he's a forerunner. And he said things, and he went to Herod, and he said, Herod, what are you doing? You married your brother Philip's wife. Come on, this is just not cool. It's against the law. You can't do that. Wrong, wrong, wrong. But how he said it, I don't know. We know his words. But how that came across, we're trusting that that was from the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God was telling him what to do. I mean, he was extremely humble, and the Lord said there's none like him. John the Baptist is the man. Oh, I like that. So he's in jail. So the wife of Herod, she's got some kind of Jezebel thing going on, and she's a pretty wicked lady. But she's got this beautiful daughter, Herodias, and the beautiful daughter is dancing all around, for the king, and the king is really pleased, and he's a loaf of bread because he's not walking with the Lord, and he's going, oh, okay, wow, she's really beautiful. What do you want, darling? Whatever you want, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom, so what do you want? Thinking he's doing good. Because he's not hurting her, come on. But he thinks he's doing good. He's not doing good according to God's plan, God's standard. But he didn't know to be able to listen to our God. He didn't have that revelation. So what he thought in his mind made sense to him, and he thought he was doing good things. But that became such a block that he ended up participating in a big trap. And the big trap was going to bring the end to John the Baptist as we knew it. So Herodias says, gosh, I don't know what I want. Mama? What do I want? Another picture of generational garbage. Because the lauder is sensually dancing for the king. What is that? And all his important people around him. And kind of fun, they thought. And then she goes to her mama, because they have the like spirit. Maybe different personalities, different things, different callings, whatever. But, going to mama. And she says, I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. What? We don't know what was behind that other than evil, fear, evil, okay, that doesn't make sense to me, I'd rather have the kingdom, but she was. So she did what mama said because it's like spirit in the generations that hadn't been killed, destroyed. Important. Well, that's an easy one. Come on, that's bad stuff. But God is giving us a picture here, and he's telling us about this for a reason. And then he says, back up here, Herod actually goes and has his head chopped off, goes into prison. And the reason that he was in prison is because his wife wanted him gone. But Herod had some kind of religious awe. He knew he was a holy man, the scripture says. He knows he had some kind of deal going with God, so he didn't want him dead, so he put him in prison. But that wasn't good enough, because we needed to really stop him. So Herodias' mother said, this is what I want. That's what happened. The head is delivered. It's like, ew, how gross is that? And John the Baptist got to go to glory, which was really, really beautiful. So Jesus is recalling in the scriptures this. Why is this being written? And if you look at him, look at verse 29. When his disciples heard about this, they came and took away his body, and they laid it in a tomb. Now here are the guys that have been sent out, and they're doing these great and mighty things. So they're going and laying hands on people and casting out demons and all this. And then they go, and one of their heroes and their role models is, his head's on a platter, and they've got to take his body and put it in a tomb. How do you think that hit them? What was challenged inside of them? Probably everything. Fear, anger, rage, control, unbelief. Think about it. All of those things would be challenged if they were carrying any of that. And they were probably carrying some of that. Because we see later on that Jesus exposed some of it. But the Lord had something bigger than them in the terms of what they had already seen before. They'd already cast out demons. See the builders. Wow, there's some guy going on the ground. I saw you do that, Jesus. That's really cool. I can do it too. Great. And God's proud of that. It's like, okay, try to help people get released from their stuff, but you're going to do greater things for me, so I need you to get released from your stuff. That's as important, I don't know how God weighs that, but I know he's always trying to teach us something. So the apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported to him, and here's what he said. Come away by yourselves to a secluded place, verse 31, and rest a while. So they had been on the road doing kingdom stuff. And he says, here's what I want you to do. When Jesus talks, we need to listen. Come away and be rested. In other words, get some rest. And because I think that my Father wants to impart things through me to you, and you need to chill. Because you have just had an experience that just doesn't match what I sent you out to do, you think. So I'm sure their emotions were wild. Like, what would you feel and think? They knew everything about John the Baptist that Jesus would impart to them. They knew he was an important dude, and his head's on a platter. I mean, do you think they wondered if maybe their heads would be on a platter or something? But they had to take his body, and he was one of their heroes. And nothing, and it seemed as though things weren't stopped in the kingdom for him. It seemed that way. So everything that seemed a certain way was challenged. It seems to be this way. Their opinion was challenged. That's what God wants to do. He wants to challenge our opinions. Oh my gosh, we had the same conversations in Brazil that we have together here about our opinions. It was so fun. It's like, wow, God, everywhere around the world, you're the same. Let's talk about our opinions and see what you have to say about things. What do you think about this? Not what do I see? What did he do? What did she say? But what do you say about this? Because he is going to teach us in this season how to first see the best in people. First. Now you may have great seer vision, meaning, oh, I can see things, you know, in the spirit, I can too. Or you don't. But a discerning heart that grows in the Lord will want to see the very best. I know my husband sees first. I'm trusting Jesus. I'm believing that he sees the very best in me. Because I do all kinds of crazy things that probably annoy the tar out of him. But he is challenged with that. So I become a loving challenge in his life. Do you see that? And his opinion at that moment of whatever it is that I'm feeling, thinking, doing, he is going to be challenged because he's right next to me about what God says about that and not what he feels and thinks that means. And the Lord's so serious about it. It's just the way of love. He's saying the way of love. Instead of seeing the garbage and seeing the sin, and then saying, but she meant well. She's a good person and blah, 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 blah. Do it the other way around. Focus on the good and watch the not so good go. Kind of like Carlos going, you should have seen it while we were blessing the socks off him. Oh, it was great strategy. It was a kingdom strategy. It was so cool and it was so easy. And I even said, Carlos, I love you. And he went like this. Ha. And I meant it. That's the funny thing. I really did. I really meant it. I didn't just say it because you need to say these loving things, okay? I meant it. I meant it. I really did. I said, Carlos, I love you. I care about you. I care about your life. There's more for you. You're amazing. They started telling me about spiritism. I said, oh, I know about spiritism. But tell me as much as you want. And then Inez, who's interpreting for us, will, you know, it'll be good stuff for later because I know how spiritism works. But anyway, I said, yeah, spiritism. Yeah, so he connects with all these high principalities and powers and does all the voodoo type of stuff, but it's just, you know, called to something different, and they don't do bad things like witchcraft, for goodness sakes, and hurt people. But he's completely trapped in doing, you know, he just dances with demons all the time. I mean, demons are around his body and his mind and everything else, and I said, see, do you need to be healed? Well, I'm numb on the left side and my heart hurts, physical. I said, oh, well, come here. I mean, I'm talking to this guy like this. Come here. I don't say, please, sir. I mean, people kiss his hand. And he was just discombobulated when we were there because of the love. But he wanted the love. He just didn't know what to do with it. It's like, so he was challenged. But I believe that God is saying, I'm going to teach you new ways to see what I'm saying and doing. If you can't see the good in somebody and call it out easily, there's lessons. I'm learning more about love. It's like, I want to see the good and speak out the good. So they see in my eyes the good. They hear through my voice the good. And there's plenty of not good, you know, stuff. And it doesn't mean that you don't address it. But the Lord says, I'm going to teach them through your life how to trust me. Trust the Lord. And they'll be able to receive the good. All right, moving on. Just hopefully you caught a few of those little love zingers. Okay, so now we have verse 32. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. So they were obedient in chapter 6. They were obedient to the Lord. I just have to give you one more sentence about Brazil. I don't want to call it a machine because that sounds kind of negative maybe, but I was doing deliverance almost the entire time. Everywhere I went. And it looked very different wherever I was. Deliverance, 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 then healing and deliverance and deliverance. As I'm preaching, as I'm sitting at a coffee shop, as I'm in a church, as I'm in a car, as I'm loving people. In other words, when the Lord sent these 12 out, he was saying, I'm going to teach you what it's like to recognize the powers that are not from me and help people come into love. I have that for all of you. That's what he's saying, more and more and more. So 5,000, okay, here we are to the place we really like now. So we know that Jesus saw, or the people saw them going in verse 33, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities, and they got there ahead of them. Now catch this, when Jesus went ashore, because he was in a boat, he saw a large crowd, and this is just like, duh, neon lights. What did he feel? He sees the large crowd. Now he's with his buddies. They're all watching Jesus. They all went through this John the Baptist thing. They were all sent out. They've all been doing these wondrous works for the Lord. Now, you know, if we just say, well, you know, they were probably religious. Come on. We're not even going there. I don't even need to. Let's just take a look at what Jesus said and did, and let's see what he wants to say to each one of us, because this is not a message about religion. It's about love. So Jesus felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. He saw their need. He saw the people. We can have a conference and do all of our things. You know, have the right worship stuff. We can have the right lights and the right videos and the right speakers and the right. But if we cannot see as much as God wants us to see to the point where our hearts are burning with compassion for the people in front of us, we're still learning more and more how to love. Not just the people who are sitting there in front of us, but our comrades, those who are working, we're working in a team. You know, all these 12 apostles, they were a team. They were pals. They were buddies. All different personalities. They were together. The Lord says, I want you to see. And when you see what I see, you will be broken, weeping, just like, I don't care how tired I am. I don't care. I just don't care. I don't care. There's not even a cost to pay. Jesus didn't care. He had already paid the price by becoming a human. Hello. He hadn't even gone to the cross yet. But he left heaven. But because he is love, representing the Father fully and revealing the Father, he felt compassion. He was able to look over a whole crowd and go, oh, they're hungry. They're spiritually hungry. They're physically hungry. I can see their need. That takes the priority at the moment. That's what makes a difference. It's not going to be, you know, how much do I get paid if I have a job? Or what am I going to do tomorrow with the people who really want me to go preach somewhere? He's not thinking about anything else. He's thinking about right there, right at that moment. What are you saying, Father? What do you want me to do? When we see verses in Scripture that Jesus was moved with compassion, the Lord is saying, This needs to become the tenor of your heart because that's who I am. And that compassion that you feel will propel you. Compassion will propel you. Compassion for people, and we can't make it happen. So if we're not feeling compassion for people that will propel us to make something happen, we won't go the extra mile or 10,000 miles. We won't. We'll do our job. We'll do what we're called to do, maybe a little bit more, but we won't. We will have buried the talents. Because it's the compassion that rises up. Compassion like for people is the hidden treasure. And the Lord is telling them that's what's missing for any of us. But he loved these guys so much. I mean, he believed them. He sent them out. He's 12. He didn't say, come here and follow me forever and don't do anything ever. He says, but if you want to be more effective, you are going to see. Watch me. Watch me. Watch what I do. Watch what I do. Watch what I do. And you'll become like me. Because I know you love me. But you need to be motivated by this passion for people. So good. When he felt compassion for them, they were like sheep. In verse 35 and 36, he started listening to his disciples that said, they didn't have the compassion. They didn't see. It's not just that they didn't see what Jesus did. They didn't have the compassion for the people. That's why they didn't see. They just didn't really see. Even though they were sent out, and I'm sure when they saw people who were hurting and lost and needed to cast out demons and heal, they probably felt something really cool. But when it came to a place where the Lord says, listen, you need to go rest. In other words, you need to go be with the Father. You need to go recharge, and you're going to get from him what I'm getting from him. Boom! And then you're going to see more. So he continues to go, and he says, in verse 37, he says, you give them something to eat. You do it. And he says in verse 38, well, how many loaves do you have? Go look. Go figure it out. You've got the anointing. Go do it. So he's not waiting for the compassion to kick in. He says, Lord, how am I going to show them what they need to see? Because they can't go any further. They are sitting right in this. Can you imagine that Jesus is ready to do this great miracle and he says, you do it. You feed them. This is what I want you to do. Now, go over in your Bible, flip over right now to Matthew chapter 14, where the 5,000 are fed again. Look at verse 16. Jesus says, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. You do it. He told them at that point, here's what you are capable of. Here's what you can do. And something inside of them didn't connect fully, but they followed what he said in the sense that they checked and saw that they had two fishes and five loaves. They checked that much. So they were in process. But he told them that they should do this. He had belief in them. Even though they didn't seem to be capable of this, even though they didn't seem to be capable of doing this miracle, he said to them, you do it. What would have happened if they would have said, okay? He believed enough in them as he sent them out. He said, you do it. And he was waiting. He was waiting. He was waiting. I believe that there could have been 5,000, 10,000 more people fed as these guys took ownership of what was revealed to them and that they actually could take that step. He was challenging them. And for them to say, why don't I see this? Lord, what is it? Why can I be with Jesus and not actually feel what he's feeling? The first thing that comes to my mind is reason. Come on, it's getting late and there's a lot of people and it's getting dark. And Jesus, we've been ministering all day. Come on. We even had a little bit of rest. So give me a break in their way. They hopped back into logic out of this place where they're casting out demons and praying for people and they missed the very thing that Jesus wanted for them at that moment. But because of the love of Jesus, he's so engrossed with them as well as the 5,000. He's like, how can I teach my little flock? How can I do it? I want you to do this. I want you to do the work, but I will do this for you and I will demonstrate again for you. But please, boys, watch what I'm doing. In other words, see through me the compassion that's just oozing out of me. And he may not have been, doing one of these, but his compassion propelled him to put himself aside and prefer the others. He not only preferred the 5,000, but he preferred his followers. He preferred them. He says, I love them so much. They are, oh, they're going to be awesome, even more so in the kingdom. And, oh, Papa, how? And he says, son, it's all right. You're teaching them, you're modeling, but challenge them. Say, let's go, let's go, let's go. You do it. Okay. All right, bring them here to me, he says. In verse 16, he says, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat, and they still argue with him. I just don't know. You know, it's like, Lord, I want to hear. When you speak, I want to recognize your voice. Now, they had the physical Jesus in front of them. But when you're speaking, I want to say yes immediately. Because if I can't say yes immediately, or I don't say yes immediately, then I'm learning to love more and more and more. Because there's probably a disconnect. And you understand that. You never give up on me. But you, when you speak, I need to listen, because that's how it's designed. And that's what love does. Love listens to love. So they argued with him again. Bring them here to me, Jesus said. And then he ordered the people, we're still in Matthew, to sit down on the grass. He took the loaves and fishes. He blessed the food. And they all ate and were satisfied. And there were 5,000. And that's really great. Good story. Okay. True story. Amen. And all of a sudden now Jesus is going to walk on water. So I'm watching this as we're going through this. I'm watching through the scripture this progression of Jesus sending them out, this whole thing with John the Baptist. Now there's 5,000, and now Jesus is going to walk on water. And the Lord says, if you can see how these all tie together, you will have grown more in love, because you're going to see more of my character, more of my way. And your compassion for people will raise because you have encountered me. My love letter is to you, and you've encountered me. Okay? So we're still in Matthew. It says in verse 22, immediately, this is after the 5,000 were fed, men and who ate besides women and children. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. Why did he do that? Okay, he says, all right, boys, get in the boat. Here's what happened. You got a chance to watch. You were in the presence of love. Love demonstrated. I'm here. I'm modeling it. But now you're going to see the miraculous. And you're in the presence. This is the kingdom. You have the privilege of seeing another way of the kingdom you have not seen. Not to this degree. So you had an opportunity and still have an opportunity to receive it. Because I'm going to put you in remembrance of this again. And what happened before this was, you know, you have to go bury John the Baptist. It's not a good thing. Watching what's going on in the dark side, you participating in it, and you also being challenged in that, because you're human and everything is rising up inside of you, and I've got to challenge your thinking. I've got to challenge your reasoning. I've got to challenge your opinions, because if they don't match up with me, it doesn't mean anything. If it doesn't match up with what I'm saying, even about another person, you might see the bad. But if you don't see what I am saying about that, you have done nothing but agree with the enemy. I mean, come on, it's obvious. You can see the bad. You don't have to be any kind of rocket scientist to see the bad. But if you can't see what I am saying and doing, you have missed it. Ha! Okay, so now we go into Jesus walking on water. Now get this, verse 23, when Jesus sent the crowds away, after he blessed them, Jesus, what did he do? Now these guys are gone, but he sends them away. He says, go out in the boat. I'll talk to you later. See, I got to go to the mountain, but I'll take care of it. I'll dismiss the crowds. I'll work with these people. He didn't say, get yourself in the 5,000, go lay hands on them, go cast out demons, go do this, would you? There's a lot who need to be healed. But everywhere Jesus went, he preached, he taught, and he healed. And I believe that every person there not only was fed, but they had an encounter with the Lord spiritually, and that he, through his presence, released the aroma of heaven over all of them. But I don't think the disciples were ready to get that. What they did know was enough for that moment for them to be able to have an encounter with the Lord and be changed and then go out again on the lake and see what's going to happen. So Jesus goes up to the mountain, and it says in verse 23, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and he was there alone. But the boat was a long distance away, and it was battered by waves, for the wind was contrary. And he came to them. Verse 25 says he came to them walking on the sea. Now we're going to see something maybe new here we haven't thought about. Let's just add to maybe what our understanding of this. So Jesus walks on water and something happens. Okay, well, there's more than that. When the disciples saw him, okay, verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and they said, it's a ghost, and they cried out in fear. Verse 26. Now flip back over to Mark. Okay, verse 47 says, when it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea and he was alone on the land. Okay, so here we have the same thing. Verse 48. Seeing them straining at the oars. How's he seeing them straining at the oars? For heaven's sakes, he's up on the mountain. It's in the fourth watch. And it's dark. So he's seeing them in the dark. I think something's happening here. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. It is about the fourth watch of the night. He came to them walking on the sea. He intended to pass by them. That was his initial intent. Really? Why, Jesus, what were you thinking? You intended to pass by them? Well, that's not in the Matthew account, really. But you saw them in a vision. And when you see something in a vision, and you have the clarity of God and the discerning of spirits of the Lord, you'll know what to do then when you say, what do I do now? If we have a dream or we have a vision, doesn't necessarily mean it's from God. But when it's from the Lord, then we know He's speaking to us very specially about something, and we need to take action, and we need to know what His action is. And if we only do part of His action, we're only listening partially to what the Lord is saying. Do you understand? So if He's giving us a word, He's giving us a picture, He's giving us a vision, the Lord is saying, I'm asking you to ask me what to do with it. Fully. See it through. That's the lesson of love. See it through. If we have a thought, it's like, wow, it might be a partial thought. There might be more. The Lord says, I'm going to give you the tools to be able to complete what it is I'm asking you to participate in. The disciples were lacking in some of that. I believe that's one of the reasons Jesus said, you guys leave. I'm going to close shop here with the healing and the feeding of the 5,000. But the Lord's saying, I'm going to grow us up to get to that place more and more and more and more to be able to have the eyes to see what He sees more than we think. But if we do pride ourselves on seeing a little bit without, that can be dangerous. And the Lord's not saying He doesn't celebrate us. He does. He was very proud of these guys. These disciples, I'm sure they passed the basket and went, oh, wow, look at all the bread. It's being multiplied. And then the fish were being multiplied. It's like, oh my goodness, this is so great. Wow, Jesus is so cool. Maybe I can do this someday. And God's proud of them. He's happy. Like, these are my boys. Yeah. But He still dismissed them. And He intended to walk by them. We need to chew on that a little bit and see what God's saying. Okay, keep tracking with me. We're going to close it in a few minutes here. I just want to take you down to something about Jesus walking on water, because these tests that we go through that are for our faith to rise, our real faith inside. The Lord's saying, I'm going to teach you what faith looks like for each one of us. All right? Faith from God's perspective will look different than faith from our perspective. Do we agree with that? Okay, do we want more of the kingdom understanding of what real faith looks like? Okay, well, I believe that the Lord does, and He allows us to go through many things. But He loves us in the process, and He's so pleased with us. And He's just saying, oh, you go, you're so awesome. I see the best in you. I pull out the best in you. Even you, Peter. Not our Peter here, okay. Peter in the Bible, okay. Even you. You contentious fisherman, I love you so much. Watch what I'm going to do for you, buddy. Okay, so in verse 48, he has this vision. They're straining at the oars. He came to them walking on the sea. He intended to pass by. But when they saw him. So here it is dark. They've got Jesus. Do you think maybe he was glowing or something? I don't know. This is Jesus walking on water. Something supernatural was going on. And he wanted them to encounter him. Maybe. Now, you know, maybe. You can chew on this one and ask the Lord. Maybe he intended to pass them by because his very presence would bring a calming to the sea. But he's always wanting to grow us up. He's always wanting to increase us. He's always wanting us to have an encounter with him. So whether he knew they were going to see him or not, that remains to be seen. But it does say that they saw him because there's the word but. But they saw him. He intended to walk by to help them. He wasn't going to walk by and say, well, maybe they'll struggle a little bit more and they'll get it right. Come on. They saw the 5,000, you know, being fed, you know, and then John the Baptist, I know they've got issues and they had to bury him, so I know they're struggling, but you know. No, that's not how he thinks. He's just so much in love with us. He's saying, I want to offer you another opportunity, but if you don't take it, you will miss that opportunity. There'll be other opportunities, but it doesn't have to be that way. He was looking for hunger. He was looking for something, I believe. And he intended to walk by and still touch them. I don't believe he's going to let them drown if they're going to, you know, if they're in the storm. But I believe that he wanted something to happen on their end to develop their faith as another part of their faith test so that they could stand for things that would come in the future. So seeing, where am I here? Verse 48, seeing them straining at the oars, no, 49. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and they cried out. For they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. For they all saw him and were terrified. Okay, so everybody, that includes Peter, saw him. They were all terrified at that point. Terrified. Not like, hey, it's Jesus. They're terrified. Hello. You have a problem here. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, take courage. In other words, take the courage. You have taken the fear. Don't take that. I want you to exchange the fear for courage. Fear is not your friend. Fear is your enemy. This is an opportunity for faith to rise for you. So I'm saying, take it. You need to receive. If they're going to take, then that's only because they're in a position to receive. So if I go to Tom and say, take it, take the courage, and he grabs it, this pushes the fear out. Do you understand? Pushes the, the fear leaves because he chooses to take the courage. Thank you, I'll take that back. So he takes the courage. So Jesus' words are very specific. Take the courage. Take it. It will release what is trying to grab you because your circumstances are bigger around you, you think, than me. Hello. So take the courage. I'm offering. I'm always offering, even when you're going down. Or you think like you're going down. So he says, take the courage. Do not be afraid. He needed to tell them. Then he gets in the boat with them and the wind stopped. Now get this. He gets in the boat. He'd been walking on water. The wind stopped and they were utterly astonished. Verse 52, to close it. For they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. What? That should rock our world. Like, huh? I need to see the progression here because God is giving us a kingdom strategy. If we want to know the weapons of our warfare, we're going to have to see what he's really saying. He always demonstrated himself. He's always saying the condition of your heart will warrant what's going to happen because I'm always there to calm the storm. I'm always there to part the waters. I'm always there to bring peace. I'm always there to provide deliverance. I'm always there to provide healing. I'm always there. And the more that you have of this awareness inside, okay, stupid things won't come out of your mouth as easily. I mean, to be blunt. Hello. We won't see the problem. We will see the solution. We will see the solution. because Jesus is the solution. But for some reason, this verse just popped out, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves. The Lord was so good, he even told us this. I mean, I think we could have figured this out, maybe. Maybe not. But they didn't gain insight even at that point. Could the sea have been calmed before he got in the boat? Hello, Jesus. Yes. But instead, he continued to offer them courage to be able to face that challenge. And then he got in the boat with them as well. Because he loves them so much, he didn't want them to flop around. Okay, now flip back to our Matthew passage in Matthew 14. Okay. The boat was already a long distance, we are aware. Verse 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and they said, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." They cried out in fear, and he offers them courage. They cried out in fear. They saw him walking. They didn't even recognize him. They thought something else. They didn't have eyes to even see that he was coming to their aid. He went to the mountain to be strengthened, to receive the next set of directions from the Father. He had just completed the task at hand. It would have been nice to have his boys with him. Come on, it would have been nice to finish it up, I think, with 5,000. But he said, no, I'm moving them along, and they're going to have another opportunity to encounter me for greater things. For greater things that are coming. Greater things are coming for each one of us. Greater things are coming for this church. Greater things are coming for Brazil. Greater things. And the Lord says, I want you to focus on the greater things. But you've got to see me in the midst of everything and pattern your life this way for that passion to raise up inside. Compassion for other people will be the result. Always. Passion for him results in compassion. Our reactions to things that we don't like, they'll start to change. We'll start to feel and see the good. We'll start to encounter the Lord sooner. We'll start to realize that our actions or lack of action affects other people, and we will feel it, and we'll think that way. I wonder if I showed up on time, if that would help somebody else out. You know, we'll start to think that way instead of defending why we're not. I'm not talking about here, I'm talking about anywhere. Do you see what I'm saying? Our preference for those around us will drive us because we are so in love with him. This is what he's trying to teach these guys. He's saying, you know, I already sent you out. You can always do this. You can do this stuff. But it's my heart in you that I'm looking for. More than anything. More than anything. To finish it up with Peter, Peter said to him, I love this. Peter says, in this passage anyway, Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the water. It's like, come on. If it's you, who the heck is it? Who would it be? But Peter needed to say with his logical mind, if it's you, I need that assurance. If it's really you, if it's you, I'll come. If it's not, I won't. How many ghosts do you see walking on the water? They probably have this big heavenly glow around them, but he didn't recognize him. He couldn't see because these other things inside of Peter were raising up again. You know, it's like maybe some fear, maybe some unbelief, you know, all the kinds of things that we know can hinder us from seeing. And we all know the what God says about that. Get them out so I can come in. Yeah. But the Lord's going to give us opportunities, and he's going to say, let me put you right in the middle of something where you're going to be around other people. It's usually that way. It's too easy by yourself. Okay, so other people and those very things will be challenged that you have on the inside of you so that you can really see me. You can see me quickly, ho, and you'll receive me, and then you won't have to ask me that. But if you do, it's okay because I love you, and I'm going to make myself known to you, and the greater miracles will happen, and the dead will raise, and the blind will see, and the deaf will hear, and the thousands will come into the kingdom, and the hundred thousands, and the millions, and you'll believe for millions of dollars. You'll believe for billions of dollars. You'll have vision to see nations taken because you will be so much thinking like the Lord of heaven. Oh, that's what he asked for us. And he says you will be the one believing that. And the fire will so overtake you that when you step out of the boat, you will walk on water and you will not sink because there will be no unbelief. There will be no disbelief. There will be no fear. Nothing can hold you. Oh, whoa, it's true. So he says, Peter says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come. Okay, I will. Come. That's what it says. Okay, I get that voice. I get that voice. That makes sense to me. Now I know. Could he have known sooner? Yes. Did God work with him? Yes. But what if he would have said, okay, before he said, Lord, is it really you? How could that happen? That's our journey. He likes to mess with our thinking. He likes to mess with our mind. He likes to mess with our opinions. He really does. He's a messer. And he wants to mess us up. He says, come. Peter gets out of the boat. He walked on water. He came toward Jesus. Way cool. There's a little bit of strength there. And then you know the rest of the story. Peter got out of the boat, walked on water, but seeing the wind, there's the seeing again, he became frightened again. He decided to exchange the courage for fear. What inside of him wouldn't hold on to the courage? That's between Peter and the Lord. But God gave him an opportunity to see that. So lovingly that he didn't smack him down. But at the same time, he gave him the opportunity. He says, good job, you tried to walk on water. That's really good. Your faith isn't quite where it needs to be here, oh ye of little faith. But yeah, I love you anyway, because I know. And the rest of the boys are watching you. But maybe they're watching you with the same eyes that you have. Maybe there's some fear in there. So there was something given to Peter. There was courage given. Hold on to it. No. No. Is this a trick? No, don't. No, we're connected here. You see? We're connected. When he takes the courage, he's connected to the source. So when fear rises, he's still connected. Because he's receiving that courage. And he's letting courage work for him. Because courage is Jesus. A little different, huh? There's a connection. The Lord's looking for the connection. I can take it now. Thank you. You see the difference? Wow, it's so good. Peter got out of the boat, walked in the water. Seeing the wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Oh, ye of little faith, little Peter. Yeah, okay. Jesus stretched out his hand, took him and said, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? In other words, you were connected here, weren't you? Or did something else rise up and try to break that connection and you said, okay, I released courage. Didn't you take that and hold on to me? This is not a message from the Lord about how Peter failed. This is a message of love, of staying connected to the source. And then see what the results would be. And God, Jesus loved him so much. They got in the boat together, verse 32, and the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. Jesus met them where they were. He really did. But he allowed various things that Peter was holding inside to start to be exposed. Because I bet you, I'm not a betting woman, but it's my way of saying it, that Peter spent a lot of time going, why did I sink? Because of Jesus' words, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Don't you trust me? Don't you trust me when I say, it's me, don't be afraid. Even though you didn't see me the first time. Here you go. Take the courage. Don't let go of it. Because I am courage. Don't let go, honey. Don't let go. It's all right. I'll give you another chance. Maybe you didn't get it with the loaves and the fishes. Apparently not from what we read in verse 52. Amen? But that's okay. Because now I let you try to walk on water and go, so I'm going to expose a couple of other things that need to go by the wayside. But Peter, there's some judgment in your heart. Because you think you've got me figured out, and you don't. But I know you love me. I know you do. I know you do. If it's you, God, I'll do it. But Peter, there's some other stuff that's going to hinder you from doing the greater works that I have for you. Walking on water is way cool. But you're going to learn from this because there are other things coming. Amen? Let's just bow our heads. Father, I just thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to each one of us right now. I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, that you want us to connect with you in new ways, to see what you see, hear what you are saying, for the greater love release that you have for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're so faithful. You're so good. So faithful. Lord, let these words of life that you have given through your word bring the light into the places where there might be questions. Bring your light right now. Holy Spirit, I believe that you're enlightening us. You're strengthening us. Lord, that our heads are being held high because we see how loving and how kind you are. We don't see the lack. Because you don't see the lack. We see the good. And we just absolutely fall on our faces right now in love with you. That you are always faithful, knowing and seeing the very things that you want to connect your heart of love with inside of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus and Peter. Thank you for those who were watching. Thank you, Lord, that you cared so much about them that you received a vision. You cared about them even as you were communing with Papa. You were interceding for them, realizing that their hearts had been hardened. You realized, Lord, that they didn't quite get the fullness of the impartation that you had. They didn't realize that. But you still loved and still drew them. Thank you, Lord, that you are so like that with us. Thank you, Lord, that we can leave here refreshed and encouraged, and that we will allow the great exchange in our hearts to happen right now. If there's something that the Lord is bringing to your mind, that he's whispered inside of you and said, take courage, son. Take courage, daughter. Take my word. Take me. Just receive him. See yourself receiving him and receiving that very word for your own life right now. And seeing that exchange in the area of the very thing that maybe was a question. Well, I don't feel any fear. The Lord says, I'm going to show you what great, great faith looks like beyond what you've experienced before. And it will always be challenged by fear. Always. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just submit our thinking to you, and we thank you, Lord, for this divine release, this empowerment today, where we can be strengthened and encouraged, just as you so loved Peter, and just as the boys, Lord, as they were thinking back to John the Baptist and what happened there and what could be their future and how they so desired to serve their master that he wanted to call them friend, that he wanted them to know him as friend, that he wanted them to have a close encounter of the most personal kind, that he was so close that they wouldn't question him. So close. Thank you, Lord, for the great increase this morning. Thank you, Lord, that heaven came to earth this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you're in our midst this morning. Thank you for the new revelation for these passages for us that will bring us into a place of greater passion for you, which will spill into compassion for others. Thank you, Lord, that we don't ever beat ourselves up because you don't, but that you release the greater glory through humility. And I thank you, Lord, for the beauty of the humility that's being released. Just receive that from the Lord. It's a state of being that he releases to us. Greater humility. Greater humility. Greater humility. Greater humility. Thank you, Lord. That will take us to the nations. That will take us to the places where you want your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. You are just so amazing because you are humility. And when we connect with you, humility marks our world, marks our lives, and our compassion for other people will never, never wane. It will increase. We will be driven by humility for you and humility for our lives and compassion for others. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you. I'm encouraging you right now, everyone, to just call forth all of the words of life that have been spoken over you. Everything good and beautiful and positive. Everything you just call that in. Just say, Lord, I want to hear what you think. I want to know what you feel. And Lord, I want to receive again with great courage everything that's true. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll take care of the rest as my eyes are on you. And I thank you, Lord, that the people around me will become more important than me, and that I will prefer them above my own self, as Jesus did and demonstrated. And that will come from receiving you and not letting go. So thank you, Lord, that this is a house where there's a habitation, because you know there are receivers here that are growing in love with you. Thank you for that great release of love that shapes our character, shapes our life, and that any resistance, Lord, as the apostles were feeling in the boat, the resistance with the wind and the water, that resistance will be for our good, and that any resistance that we feel, we will run to you and say, what does this mean? What does this mean? What is this resistance that I feel? I'm not sensing your nearness and your closeness, hearing your voice, knowing in it. Lord, there's resistance. I don't know what it means, but I want to know. I want your kingdom way. I want your kingdom thinking, so I can continue on growing and growing and growing and growing more in love with you. Thank you for that. Praise you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the great expansion of the kingdom for every life here, every person here, for this ministry here, for where you're taking us around the world, for everything that you have for us, that we embrace heaven right now. And Lord, that anything that's contrary to that will not be able to stand because of the courage and the boldness and the grace and the humility of heart that we're receiving from you. Because you focus on that. That's your focus. And that's our focus. Let it be. Let it be tonight, this morning. Let it be. Wow. Oh. Jesus, you're here. Spirit of God, you're here. Just feel his embrace right now. He's desiring to hold each one of us right now. Have a moment with him. He's here. He's in this place. He's in this building. He's in this room. He's walking up and down the aisles. He's looking at each one of us right now. Allow him to release what he is to you. Just take it. Allow his arms to come around you right now. Yes. Yes, Lord. more, 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 more. Thank you, Holy Spirit. More. You do the work. Reveal yourself right now. I hear him saying, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Look into my eyes. Yes, you can. Look into my eyes. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Look into my eyes. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you can. Some of you are getting specific words from the Lord and you're getting pictures right now. I would suggest that you'd write them down, document them. He's speaking to you now. He's bringing freedom to the hurting heart. He's bringing freedom to areas of unbelief right now. He's just exchanging that for himself. He's just invading each one of us right now. Thank you, Lord. Let it be. Let it be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. There's no mountain too high. No valley too deep. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Be quick to say to him, I'm willing to listen the first time. Be quick to say that to him. He's looking at each one of us. Just tell him, I'm willing to hear you, to listen the first time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Just bless what you're doing right now, Lord. Bless that. I bless it. Surround it with your blood. Surround it. Surround it with your heart. Surround it. In Jesus' name. May there be great, huge increase today for the sake of the Lamb's reward. Amen. God bless you all. It's an honor to serve the Lord with you. I really mean that from everything in my heart. I love you a lot. It just keeps growing. So you're free to do whatever you want to do. I'm finished.